This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Free speech lives here. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, it's good news in real estate. If you're a homeowner, if you're selling a home, or perhaps purchasing a home or vacation property, welcome to our home. It's good news in real estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Your host for the next radio hour, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris, along with real estate veteran and owner-operator of the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes, Mark Cumberland. Your real estate education starts right now. It's Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
All right. Good morning. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage mom, Deanne Kitsaris. How are you, Deanne?
Mark, if I was any better, I'd be twins.
And we're very excited to be here on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And if you want to ask us a question, give us a call about residential, commercial, whatever. We will answer your questions. My number is 267-266-5501. What's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
We're here just to help in any way we can help. And you can listen to this show and our past shows at our website, goodnewsinrealestate.com, and at WPHT's website also. So what's coming up today, Deanne?
Mark, it's like you're the real estate shrink. We're just here to help you.
We are just here to help you. Lay on
coming up on today's show, we have the market report.
Yes.
We have our business tips with Asking Dr. A.
Yep.
We have Mark's funny story.
Got one for you.
And we have our mortgage mom topic.
Which is what?
It's time to refi and why.
Yeah, I just got a letter from our friend Don, the best accountant in the world, told me it's going to take 90 days. I'm like, ah!
There you go. It's better than 190 days.
Yeah, I know. What else is coming up?
All right. So we have our questions, Mark. What is a contingent offer in real estate? Next question is, how do you find a history on a property? Next question is, when is a real estate contract valid? Next question is, how do I know if there's actually an offer or if they're trying to force us into making a higher offer?
We had a similar question to like that last week.
We did. It was very similar. And we also have our topic of the day, Mark, which is dealing with indecision.
Indecision, the killer of all businesses.
But Mark, first, give us your motivational quote.
And the motivational quote is, diplomacy is the art of letting someone else have your way. Think about that one for a minute.
I'm thinking about that. Diplomacy is the art of letting someone else have your way.
That's okay. Right. You can, in the end, you can always get what you want if you're very diplomatic and you let them talk, and it always, you can split the baby and make things work.
Okay.
So, I thought that was a pretty good one. So where are we at?
Mark, we're up to the market report.
And there is Frank's bell. What a hell of a bell. I love that bell, man. So, but I'm going to say something before I do this market report. Like yesterday, it was my granddaughter's birthday, and we rode up the Roosevelt Boulevard to the Chamonix Mall, and we sat in Longhorn Steakhouse and had a dinner and a couple cocktails.
Wait. Evie had cocktails?
She had a Shirley Temple.
Okay. Just check.
But, you know, why are we not open in Philly? Why the bar and restaurant industry goes under, where I can ride 22 minutes away and sit down and eat. I just don't get it. I don't understand why people aren't protesting around City Hall about this. This is getting ridiculous now. There's going to be no restaurants left.
None. I agree.
None. It's terrible. But anyway, let's get back to real estate. So the remote market, this remote working is reshaping. Now, there's a lot of big stuff going on. We're talking nationwide here. Out in San Francisco, tech workers are fleeing and the rents are falling. Giving the employees the freedom to work from anywhere in the Bay Area, tech companies appear to have touched off an exodus. So all these people that was paying really high rents, high taxes, all of a sudden they can work from home. They're booking. Listen to this. The cheapest, San Francisco's cheapest real estate listing is a six-figure parking spot. A parking spot.
A parking spot?
Yeah, a parking spot. A parking space in San Francisco hit the market for $100,000, making it the cheapest piece of real estate in the city. A parking space. That's how outrageous
prices
are. I know. It's crazy. So they're taking advantage of this pandemic and working from home. For years, they've been talking about potential exodus from San Francisco. Now it's happening because of this virus. And there's big signs of this exodus going on, like Silicon Valley, America's signature hub for innovation, may never be the same. Amazon's considering relocating out of some Seattle spots. Tech companies are giving their employees more freedom to work from anywhere, and they're taking them up on the option to relocate and pay lower rents and lower taxes and everything. In the early days, the information about who's leaving and where they were heading is just starting to come in. But for those who are looking, the evidence is there. Two things suggested this one guy, Justin, out there and his wife, they weren't alone to decide to move in out of San Francisco this summer. After 5 years of renting an apartment, the couple decided to buy a three-bedroom house in Phoenix because they didn't have to work near the company anymore. So this coronavirus is prompting record Colorado home sales. First, the landlords were offering to reduce, to keep them from going, they offered them $250 less a month through October, which they declined. They also were going to offer them some other free dental checkups. They were throwing in all kinds of stuff, and these people still rolled. And then Google parent Alphabet last month said employees won't be returning to the office until at least the summer of 2021. So now,
that's a year from now.
I know that they're jumping the gun here, but anyway. So that social media giant has 52,000 employees, expect to shift substantially to a remote workforce over the coming decade, is now recruiting directors of remote work. They're like, they're creating a job just to handle all these people working from houses. And then New York City, another place that's, this mayor really screwed up with the crime and the taxes and everything else, they're booking out of there big time. It's up to 500 people a day moving out of New York City. So
500 a day.
A day leaving the city. Like they're having real serious tax problems, and you can't keep taxing people. And the rents have started falling. Median rent for a one bedroom apartment in San Fran a month dropped by 11%. 1 month. 11%.
Jeez.
And so this pandemic is causing big time problems. So it's interesting what's happening. The region is expensive in other ways. San Francisco, a room with a bunk bed with five other people costs $1,300 a month.
Get out of here.
Bed. Yeah. That's like living at Temple or something with four other guys, you know? The region is expensive in other ways. A cheeseburger and fries delivered cost $25. Ice cream cone costs $7.
Yeah,
I mean, they're just chasing these people away. And the large departure of these tech workers are going to have significant implications on the industry. And so I mean, New York, this guy, there's we talked about it before, there's 74 billionaires in New York, and now he wants to tax those 74 people. Billionaires can move wherever they want. So, I mean, some of these cities, and in Philly is not too far behind. I mean, this guy is killing 60%, 60% of the unemployed in the United States are in the bar and restaurant industry. 60%.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, you got to open up these places, man. Like last night, we went in there, we had our mask on, and then we sat at a table and we had a great dinner. And that all could have happened in Philly. But it didn't. But tell us some good news about the rates.
I'm going to tell you some great news. So our rates right now, Mark, your 30-year conventional, 2.625%. Your 15-year, 2.625%. Your 30-year FHA jumbo, your 30-year FHA, 2.75%. I mean, this is almost free money. I can't wait to get into my topic.
I'm hoping my accountant, Mr. Devlin, and my bookkeeper are listening to this. I want to refi so bad.
And anyway, I'm going to tell you why.
I know. Why? Oh, that's your topic. That's right. All right. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210. All positive, all the time. We will be right back.
On behalf of the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, we hope you're enjoying Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland. The Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more after the break and this message from Debt Free Living. Learn more at WeHateDebt.com.
Hey, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive all the time, Ms. Katsaris. So where are we at?
Ralphie, we are up to Mark's funny story.
I got one for you. So anyway, this couple move in town, right? They got this little kid, Johnny, and he's in a new class. And so the teacher announces that they're going to do something different today. They're going to, so everybody gets to know one another better and help with their spelling. She explains, I want you to stand up, give us the occupation of your father, spell it, and say one thing he would tell us if he was here today. What would he do? So the first student raises her hand, Marcy. Teacher says, go ahead, Marcy. She goes, my father's a banker, B-A-N-K-E-R. And if he was here today, he'd give us all a shiny new penny. Teacher says, very nice, Marcy. Who wants to go next? Kevin stands up. He goes, my father's a baker, B-A-K-E-R. And if he was here today, he'd give us all a freshly baked cookie. She goes, very good. Next one, Kevin raises his hand. And, or Jeff it was, he goes, my father's an accountant, Jeff says, right? He goes, and he starts to spell it, A, and then he's like, gets hung up, and he doesn't know what to do, A, C, and before he could attempt to spell it one more time, the teacher cut him off, told him to sit down, think about it for a while, and then she called him again. When he thought about it, he knew how to spell it, he could stand back up and try again. Little Johnny raises his hand in excitement, hoping to be acknowledged by the teacher. Teacher calls on little Johnny to go next. Johnny said, my father's a bookie, B-O-O-K-I-E. And if he was here today, he'd give you a 20-1 odds that Jeff's never going to be able to spell accountant.
That was a good one. If you have a funny story you'd like to hear on our show, send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
And now it is time for the Mortgage Mom segment with Deanne Katsaris, the Mortgage Mom from Greentree Mortgage. And her topic is, it is time to refi and why. Even rhymes.
It does, it does. Mark, first I want to say thank you to all of the listeners out there that have reached out to me. The gentleman, I don't want to say his name on the air, but his phone number actually ends in 1210, which was pretty ironic.
Wow.
Real nice guy. Can't wait to help him. But I wanted to just again say thank you. We also, real quick, need to give a shout out to the Flyers.
Yes.
They're on a roll.
I know.
Oh, look at that excitement. All right. Well, so we'll talk about really that during your topic, not mine. So there's two reasons to refi. Number one, everybody sees how low the rates are, 2.625, 2.75, you know, depending on what your credit score is and what type of program you're going to go with. And if you're just doing a regular rate and term refi and you're saving anywhere from $200 to $300, we have a gentleman right now that we're saving him $700 a month.
Wow.
$700 a month. That's a mortgage payment in Philadelphia. So my suggestion to him was, you know, his goal is to pay this house off as soon as he can. So my suggestion to him was take that extra money because he doesn't need it. Or even if he took $500 and paid that directly towards the principal, do the biweekly payments, pay half of your payment on the first of the month, half of your payment on the 15th of the month. And he's going to shave 9.5 years off the mortgage.
Really? I know.
By doing exactly the same thing that he's doing now. The second reason to refinance is because we all have some credit card debt. Whether it's $3,000, whether it's $10,000, and we're at an interest rate of anywhere from 16, some people are at 24% on their credit cards. If you make the minimum payments on your credit card, you know how long it's going to take to pay those payments off?
Forever.
On top of all the interest that you've paid, 2.75% is free money.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity. The value, the property values are going through the roof as well. You're going to have equity in the property. You're going to wipe the slate clean, get rid of all this credit card debt. Take that extra money that you were going to pay the credit cards off and put it towards the principal of the mortgage or put it in the mattress and rebuild your savings.
I know.
This is the perfect time. And don't go online. Don't go to your Quicken. You know, don't just do an online application. These are things that we need to talk about. How much interest over the period of time are you actually saving?
Right.
What is the money that we're going to free up on a monthly basis by paying off all these other credit cards? And what are you going to do with it? I mean, we can get debt-free living in here, and you can start a policy, you know, basically banking on yourself with that extra money.
And you got to be careful with that online with all them teasers and stuff. They're to get the phone to ring. You got to be real. You should call Deanne. I mean, those teasers that you see online, and then they get into the reality of the situation where it's still a great thing to do, a great time to do it, but do it with somebody, you know, like Deanne that you can trust.
And Mark, there's a lot more than, you know, okay, here's my statement. This is my savings, right?
Right.
You need to know what is your plan? How long do you plan on staying in the house? How much interest are you saving? You know, what's the goal of actually doing this refinance besides saving money? Like myself, you know, we were going to sell our house. Obviously, we're not doing that anymore, and everyone knows that. But I have some credit card debt.
Me too.
I have a really good interest rate right now. But I think I'm gonna do a refinance, put in some credit card debt, pay down the principal a little bit more, and free up that extra cash. It's a win-win situation. But my point is, understand why you're doing it and understand what to do. And it's gonna make the process a lot easier. There's a couple things that you need to think about and you need to understand. Again, what is your goal? Should you go from a 30-year to a 15 and have the same exact payment? Should we pay off that credit card debt? Should we pay off your car? So there's a lot of questions that we like to ask and make sure that we're guiding our clients in the right direction, because this money, this 2.75, 2.65, we don't know how long it's going to be around, and you got to take advantage of it.
That's why.
And I know you're waiting 90 days until you can do it.
But I have one credit card.
Start thinking about it, Mark. Start getting all your documents in order so that you will be ready to do it.
I have everything in order. My bookkeeper is great. I have a credit card that I used for something for my wife, and I want to get rid of that. Because why would I pay that high rate when I could get, cash out and have one of these in the twos.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And I just did a refinance. I'm doing the middle of doing a refinance for someone right now. She has probably 15 credit cards between Kohl's and Nordstrom's and Target. And each one of them has anywhere from $2,500 to $3,000 on it. So it's going to take her forever to pay all that off because there's so many of them. And you know the interest rate is going to be high on them. Let's pay them off. Increase your monthly cash flow. Lower your monthly mortgage payment. And it's not going to make that much of a difference in your mortgage world. So
having that many credit cards is bad for your credit score. I mean, that's, you should have like maybe two credit cards. That's it. Tops.
Right.
You know?
Right. So please give me a call, 609-605-7153. We'll be happy to do a refinance analysis for you. You know, it's not for everyone. You might have a good rate. And if you do, we'll let you know. But it's got to be a win-win situation, and you got to know what you're doing. So with that, coming up next is going to be our question and answer segment.
And you'll have a plan.
Absolutely.
That was a good segment. All right, so with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on 1210 WPHT, all positive all the time. We will be right back.
Deanne and Mark are halfway through this week's edition of Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. When the show returns, more real estate news from around the Delaware Valley. But first, a word from one of our home team partners, REMAX, and Alan Stassen, who's famous for being a Philadelphia real estate expert.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our question and answer segment.
All right. So what's the first one? Give us the first
question. The first question is, what is a contingent offer in real estate?
Well, contingent offer is there's something going on. It's not just the price. There either is a house that has to be sold. There's something else is going on in this deal. And so there's a contingency. It might be when you first wrote the deal, it's in special clauses that this sale is contingent upon the sale of their other property, contingent upon removing the swimming pool, whatever it is.
There's a stipulation that's holding them back from moving forward, right?
Right.
For closing right away.
And it might not be holding you back, but it's contingent. So... And a lot of them are contingent on getting a mortgage. You know, most of them, they always check that box. This deal is contingent upon getting the mortgage. That's why you want to, when you first get the offer, you want to make sure you look at their buyer's financials, see what kind of income they have, all that. Do they have all their tax returns in? If I'm the agent, I'd like to talk to the mortgage person and make sure that they've done all everything so they can buy. Because they put in there contingent upon the mortgage, them getting a mortgage. And if they're not ready, then that deal, it says it's contingent, but they haven't done the homework.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, there's always some contingencies, home inspection, whatever. That's all it is. What's the next one?
The next question is, how do you find out the history of a property?
Well, you can go to your township and they'll have public records. You could go to a real estate agent and they can look up the history of a property.
Right.
And you can go to City Hall and the records department and they'll show you all the way back to the original deed. So you do a little due diligence. Sometimes people just do it out of curiosity or they want to know where the boundary lines are and all that. But most of the townships can supply this for you. Most realtors have access to some of it. It's according to how in-depth you want to go. But the townships all have, the deeds are recorded, and it usually has how many owners there were and all that. Like I did a little bit on the convent, just because I was curious.
Sure.
But that's where you get it from, public records. What's the next
one? And you can also go to a title company and they can look up the property information as well, as far as like a chain of title, who owned it, any liens or judgments against it. That generally happens when you purchase the property anyway.
And you order title.
Yep.
They do a search.
The next question is, when is a real estate contract valid?
Well, it's most people, when you submit an offer to a seller and you're the buyer, when everybody initials and signs and it's finally executed, that's what we call it, executed. Right. So if it's countered and it goes back and forth and stuff like that, until the last signature, and every time you initial something, you always initial and date it. So if anything ever goes wrong and you end up in court, if you don't initial and date every time you made a change, it's the original date. So then you're standing in front of your honor and you're saying, well, they did this and they did that, your honor. And he goes, what's the contract date? And it goes back to the day August 1st they wrote the deal. But in the meantime, they did three or four things back and forth and everybody initialed, but nobody dated it. So it's the actual final execution date. That's when the contract is valid.
Is valid. All right. Very good. The next question is, how do I know if there's actually an offer or if they're trying to force us into making a higher offer? And, you know, that's a really good question because there's a lot of people asking that question now.
Right. And we had a real similar question to this last week. And there is a special little form that an agent can put out, and everybody's supposed to put what their offers are on. But you don't have to do it. It's not like law. But, you know, a lot of people do it because they want to know why they lost. But they don't really have to tell you why you lost, unless you thought there was something fishy going on,
right?
Or some discrimination or something weird like that. I mean, they don't have to tell you why you lost. I mean, if a seller takes a lower offer, we talked about this last week, just because they wanted that family to have the house, that's not illegal. So, right. You know, a lot of times this happens when people lose and they want to know why they lost.
Right.
But anyway.
All right, next question. Do my taxes and insurance need to be in my monthly mortgage payment? And this is a good question, Mark, because we get this all the time, especially with the refinance going on. Now people want to say, well, you know what? I'm just going to pay my taxes and my insurance on my own. And the problem with that is, number one, when you have an FHA loan, the bank requires that taxes and insurance are in the payment. Okay, they cannot be paid separately for as long as you have that FHA loan. With a conventional loan, you have an option as long as you have 20% equity in the property. So you can determine if you have 20% equity, you're going to pay the taxes and insurance on your own, but you can still elect to have them inside the payment as well. That's the difference. You get an option when you have 20% with a conventional loan.
And some banks, even with 20%, there are certain lenders that they don't like that because they'd rather pay the taxes because they know they're happening. They don't want to get into that situation with the township or the city that you didn't pay the taxes. So, you know.
I always recommend it too, because when that tax bill comes, it's crazy. I mean, I just paid my taxes. They were due on August 1st. And, you know, it's not pleasant.
Especially in
New
Jersey.
It's not pleasant. Not going to lie. All right. Next question. I'm in the process of buying a home and just paid about $500 for the appraisal. Will the appraisal fee be taken off in what I owe in the closing costs, or is it just an added fee? And that's a good question. The appraisal fee will be deducted from your closing costs. It's not an added fee. So whatever the cost of the appraisal is, if you've paid $500 and you got a loan estimate or a closing cost worksheet showing what your costs are going to be, that $500 will be less of whatever was typically owed.
Right. It's usually part of the closing cost. When I write a deal, I take a guesstimate of what the appraisal is going to cost, and that's part of the closing cost.
Correct.
Right. All right. There are some good questions.
They were some good questions. What's another question, Mark, that you're frequently asked as either an instructor or as an agent? What's the number one question that keeps coming up?
The number one question?
Yep.
Most of them is where do I start? That's the thing I hear the most. Like, I want to buy a house. I'm not sure if I can buy a house. I don't know how much I can afford of a house. They kind of know how much they want to spend monthly, but they don't know where to start.
Right.
And that's when I try to get them to call you. I said, the best thing to do is call Deanne and let her ask you all the questions she needs to ask you and ask you for all your docs, your tax returns, everything that you need to know. And then you can figure out what that monthly... Most buyers are concerned about two things. How much cash do I need and how much is my monthly payment? And that's how you solve that problem.
And then you get the fiance or the female part of it, where, oh my God, how much paperwork do I have to give you? And this is going to be so stressful. And it's really not. You know, we take you through the process. And me asking you this question was completely off the cuff. I actually didn't mean it to lean towards me, but I'm glad it ended up this way. but we'll take you through the process. It's not stressful at all. The only thing I ask people is don't Google everything. Just pick up the phone. I have a whole team that's available to be able to walk you through everything. So don't stress. Just call us and we'll walk you through it.
I do it with Deanne all the time. I give her a buyer and she takes care of everything. And then when they're ready to go, she calls me and says they're ready to go and everything's done. She makes life simple for you. She's really good.
All right.
All right.
Coming up next is going to be our topic of the day, which is dealing with indecision.
Indecision. All right, so with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210. All positive all the time. We will be not indecisive. We'll be right back.
Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland is proudly being provided by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more in a moment, but first, a message from one of our home team partners, Greentree Mortgage. How much do you qualify for? Ask Deanne now at mortgagemom.net.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive all the time, Deanne. I feel very positive today. So where are we at?
Mark, we are up to our topic of the day, which is dealing with indecision.
Indecision. And I'll tell you, this goes back to the doctor. He comes every week and he talks about the personalities. And this has a lot to do with that kind of stuff. There are situations where we continue to resist making a decision. We're pulling the trigger, as I say to some people, like realtors, real estate agents. I always tell the students, probably 80 to 90% of the agents will never buy an investment piece because they'll never pull the trigger. They'll see the deals. They'll go, oh, what a great deal. What a great deal. And then they'll keep debating, and then it's gone. So the risk of a wrong decision, to me, is preferable to the terror of indecision. The worst thing that would bug me is, well, I made one. Remember I was thinking about running for mayor? I still regret that baby. And the cost of indecision, yeah, I was like, I should have did it. I still regret it. Cost of indecision may not be easily quantified. It may be felt at the time we need to make a decision, but it's a personal example of the cost of indecision, putting your money where your heart is. What did your indecision cost you? Time.
$100,000.
Yeah, it could. And I'm telling you, you can miss a lot of opportunities. Time, energy, missed opportunities, mental, emotional stress. That's really significant. People regret things for years that of things that they didn't make a decision on, that created that dissatisfaction, that negative thoughts and limiting beliefs. And above the cost is not measurable in financial terms, but it's more expensive than trying, learning, and failing. When we make decisions, right or wrong, we learn, we grow with every experience. When we freeze in our tracks, we stay right where we're at, or we get left behind. So is it okay to be where you're at? If you're happy, that's fine. If you're content with your current status, that's perfectly fine. But if you desire to do something and don't want to take any more risks, then you're stagnating and you'll continue to struggle with that indecision. In order to move forward, you need to accept where you're at without beating yourself up. And what matters is where we are here and willing to start now. You might find the following questions helpful. Do you still want to do it? And why? If there's something that keeps nagging at you, then there is a desire and you need to do it. The next step is to figure out why you want to do it. The reasons behind it will uncover your true passion. I always say, if you can't visualize it, you can't get there. If you can visualize it, what's stopping you? Examine the excuses. You've been telling yourself it's not good enough. You don't know how much money you're going to need. You don't have enough money. You're too old. You're too young. Whatever the excuse is, how are you going to deal with your excuses? You're going to regret this. Most obstacles we create are a result of limiting beliefs and conditioning. The simplest way to overcome them is to start moving. If it's money or physical abilities, explore what you can do about it. Resources will reveal themselves once you start looking. The worst thing that can happen is you fail completely, right?
Right.
And when you fail forward. Imagine right. The worst scenario. How much could you lose? How bad are you going to look? Are you going to be embarrassed? You humiliated? Can you live with that? Is that experience worth it? Where can you start today? Start thinking about this. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. And once this pandemic dies down, there's going to be tons of business opportunities. So if you ever thought about this, is planning and plotting time. A small step is all you need. Once you start, everything will start clearing up for you and you'll start seeing it. And then your inner resistance will start not being so bad. And your experience will help motivate you to overcome indecision. The worst thing in life is to look back and say, if I only would have, if I would have took that shot, or I would have did this. And I got a couple of things in my life I regret. You know, like I could have took a shot at one thing. But I've had like 3 or 4 different careers. I've tried different things. Not everything worked out, but you got to take some chances in life. You know, if Mark, you always want to play, if you play it safe all the time, you're going to be in the same spot forever.
You got to get off the sideline, number one. And number two, what's that saying that they always say, that you find the richest people and the greatest ideas are in the graveyard? You know, people that never took the chance or, you know, never did what they wanted to do because of fear.
Yeah. And I watched something the other day and they were talking about the difference between being rich and being wealthy. And the guy said, well, being wealthy is, they're always involved. It's not about the money. If you start getting involved, money will come. But what makes these people happy, these multi-billionaires that start these companies, it's they're always taking shots. Look at the guy from Tesla. What's his name? I'm blanking.
I know, because you just
He's now he's involved in space program. I mean, right. He's always willing to take a risk because that's what makes him happy. So indecision is a killer. Don't be indecisive. Even if you make a wrong decision, at least you'll learn and you'll move forward. So that's all I got to say about that.
That was a great topic, Mark. And now we are up to our segment, which is going to flow right into it with Dr. Abelson. And our topic today is, how are the kids dealing with COVID? Welcome, Dr. A.
Dr. A, how are you?
I'm doing terrific. How are you guys?
We're good. And in the last couple of weeks, we talked about the COVID with the D personality, I personality, S and a C, how they were dealing it. And today we're going to talk about how kids are dealing it. And I am very curious about what your thoughts on this, because I got a 10-year-old granddaughter at my house that she needs to be hanging with some kids, man.
That's right.
You.
I mean, they're going crazy at that age. I've got three grandkids myself. They're 10, 12, and 14. And it's really interesting to watch the dynamics as far as what's happening. I want to deal with how they're dealing with it right now, but I also want to deal with it regarding school, because a lot of these systems don't know what to do with the kids, you know, or some are opening and some are not opening. Some are giving you hybrid opportunities. Some parents are putting pods together, you know. So how is all this affecting the kids? It's really an interesting approach as to what's going on. Number one, all right, the kids want to be with their friends. They don't want to be with their parents. They've been with their parents all summer long. They want to be done with them. 150
some days.
They want to be with their kids. You know?
I know.
And it's the worst comes to worst. I mean, last time we talked about how parents or how adults are dealing with this. Well, at least adults are in somewhat control of their environment. The kids, especially with school, have no control at all. You know, so what you're going to see with some of these kids is you're going to see some rebelliousness, you know, with whatever the decision is, especially if the decision is for homeschooling. Because, I mean, here you have these kids that are used to interacting with a professional teacher, right? Whether you like what the teacher does or not, in most cases, they're professional in what it is that they're doing. And you're now putting them in an environment with their parents who have no clue as to how to teach.
Right. And I see people on Facebook saying, like, I don't want to teach my kid like these classes. I'm not a teacher. That's just not what I do.
That's right. That's right.
And so they're the parent. So there's no that authoritarian respect, because they're with this person every day. You know,
well, on top of that, I used to hate doing
homework with my parents. Oh, yeah. I hated it. We used to argue all the time.
Because then you have to admit that you don't know something, and especially an adolescent doesn't like to admit that they don't know something. Okay, because they know it. They know so much, and they get the rest of it from their friends. Right. So there's going to be it's a new dynamic that's going to be going on. Right. Because the parents really don't know in most cases how to teach their kids. Okay. The kids want to be doing their own thing, all right? And they want to be with their friends partially. Right. And so now it's in a totally new environment for everybody, because the parents, not only are they not teachers, but they're supposed to be doing their day job, right?
Right.
So there's all these conflicts and all these dynamics that are going on. So the kids don't want to be there. The parents don't want to be there. But then there's all the fear of sending them to school. And what happens if you ask your child to go to school, or you kind of quote unquote force your child to go to school, and they're hearing about all this stuff with COVID? And so there is now a new threat. There used to be the bully threat where that would hit some kids. There's the threat of not being able to do the schoolwork. There's the threat of not being smart enough in your class, or some kids being really smart and other kids teasing them because of that. You know, now we have a new dynamic, and that is, do we really want to be here at all? Am I going to
be ill? And look at how the parents, like, if they're both working, I mean, just the time to do this. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know,
it's stressful.
It's a lot. Thank God my granddaughter's only just turned 11, because thank God she's not like 14 or 15, because it's bad enough what she's costing me on Amazon. But I can imagine, like, if she was 14 or 15, the problems we would be having. We're running out of time on this, but
I don't know if we would.
Yeah, you know what? Let's save some answers. Yeah, next week. Let's save some more answers, because all the parents are dealing with this.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Dr. Gray.
Some already started, so some of them might be able to, you know, have some of the experience and maybe actually call in or let you guys know what issues they're facing. Well, for sure they're going to be facing them, you know, soon enough.
All right, that'd be good. All right, tell everybody how to get a hold of you, and we got to wrap it up.
It's real easy. My email is abelson@abelson.net, and our website is abelson.net. And come back for next week for the answers with the kids, because we're actually going to be putting some of this on our website after the show.
Very good.
You got it. Thank you, Dr. A. And if you do have any questions, you can email them to Mark at 8029@comcast.net or give him a call at 267-266-5501. You can also email me at DeanneKetsaris@comcast.net or give me a call at 609-605-7153.
And a special thanks to all of our listeners and our sponsors for keeping us on the air. In fact, I am looking for two more sponsors, a builder, a home inspector, a lawyer. I'd like to get you involved in our show. So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Katsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive. All the time.
Thanks for listening to Good News in Real Estate, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
When we make a profit, you see it. Better rates, fewer fees, and we give back to the community. All the things that you want from a financial institution. Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours.